It's 20 minutes till the top of the hour. Dahadi Lewis is the lead pastor of Blueprint Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and he serves as the director of the Sun Network team at North American Mission Board. He is passionate about disciple making, so I love this guy already. And with a name like Dahadi Lewis, I would assume that's standard spelling, L-E-W-I-S, is that right?
L-E-W-I-S, yes, sir.
Dahadi, how many times have you had to spell that name for people?
Oh, Dahadi, that's common. I've been called everything and anything. So I just learned to answer to anything that remotely sounds
I bet.
Close to that.
I bet. Now, you are married to Angie, and you've got 7 kids, so you've got a lot going on. And I want to hear a little bit of your story. Tell our listeners a little bit of your journey.
Yeah, I mean, I was born to both Reggie and Donna Lewis, and I was born. My dad played pro football, so pretty much my life was grown up around sports, football. Football was my god. Everything I did and didn't do was because of sports. And basically God used that to bring me to Himself, because I didn't get a scholarship to a major Division I school, and then I just started searching. I started studying Hinduism, Nation of Islam. I mean, all the different religions, but it was really with a passion to realize that, man, there has to be more than life than just sports. Eventually, God brought me to Himself, through the personal work of Christ, came to know the Lord my sophomore year in college. And then it was at that point that I realized that there was so much I needed to learn, because I wasn't raised in the church. So stories like David and Goliath and Samson and Delilah, I was like, I heard these stories, and I was like, who are these people? And I would start having to kind of study to catch up. And mm-hmm. It was in these studies that I started hearing things about evangelism and discipleship. And it was really there that I started finding, oh, God is calling us to do things. Because what I learned was that a lot of times people had more of an anti-vision of Christianity than a vision. You know, mm-hmm. Christianity was about what you don't do. You don't go to the club. You don't drink. You don't have sex outside of marriage. You don't join a fraternity and sorority. All the don't do's. Mm-hmm. But now God was calling us actually to do something. And it was just, that's what captured my heart. And that's why disciple making became the very thing. And I tell people all the time, as a pastor of the church, is that my call to the pastorate wasn't a call so I can preach. It was a call to make disciples, you know, and I saw that the church was God's primary vehicle in order to make disciples. But many of us didn't have a category for what does discipleship look like in the local church. And so that's really been my passion and my driving my story, and really kind of what has shaped my ministry over the years.
Now, Dahadi, I know you address this in your book, and the book is called Among Wolves, Disciple Making in the City. And we've actually got several copies here that we can give away to listeners. So if you have a call, a question for Dahadi, you can give us a call at 1-877-933-2484, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and we'll put your name in the drawing to win one of these books. I guess one of the big questions, Dahadi, is how do we turn passive participants into active disciple makers in this world that we live in today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is that a lot of times in church service, you hear pastors oftentimes talking about, you know, trying to get them from a consumer mindset, trying to get this into active and about our faith. And so we talk about it a lot, but if we really look at our environments, most of our environments that we create in the church context are created in a way where you have one active participant and a bunch of passive listeners. So on Sunday services, we have one person, or we have a worship leader, we have the band, we have whoever's preaching the word for the pastor who's preaching, and then you have a bunch of people who are listening, right? And then we said, okay, well, we need to take it to our homes. And what do? It's the same thing. We have one person, a Bible study leader, our facilitator who prepares all week, and then we have a bunch of passive people that are kind of engaging. They may answer a couple of more questions, but it's still more passive. And then when we said, well, we want to reach our neighborhood or whatever. And what do? We start Bible studies where we're still promoting one person active, a bunch of passive people. And I really think that if we want to change the culture, we have to change the way we go about doing things in it and really turn people to active participants. And so that's what you see throughout the book of Matthew, is that Jesus, his call to his disciples were, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Mm. So in that you hear both an invitation into relationship, but also a challenging them to change, you know, and that change was to engage in the work of God. And I think a lot of times, you've heard that the way you catch him is the way you're going to keep him. So we have to, in the same way Christ called his people, we have to call people to service, call people to laboring, call people to the harvest. You know, because that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 9. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but it's the laborers that are few. Mm. And, you know, and I think the problem is that we have reduced our Christianity to conferences, church services, and concerts. And we just really have to kind of start beginning to look at how does our faith walk express itself outside of these kind of environments.
Okay, Dehadi, you've said a lot of really great things. So let me backtrack just a little bit. I know the aim of your book is to try to be gospel-centered. You want to get local church-based people getting equipped to become disciples who are going to go out in the urban areas and share their faith. Now, there has to be some equipping on behalf of these saints to go do this work. And how do we get them in a disciplined way to pursue holiness, to be more equipped to do this work?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing that we have to see the local church as the primary tool for disciple making. For example, every membership, we do membership here every 2 months at Blueprint Church in Atlanta. And every membership, I'll stand before those that are wanting to become members, and we tell them that a call to membership here at this church is a call to discipleship. And our goal is that we want every single covenant member to be discipled. And because, and I talk about them in the same way that as a church, we take on the same responsibility that if you were to come ask me personally, Dehadi, will you disciple me? That I would say, I would take it into consideration whether or not I have the time, the ability, that, you know, in order to do that. And I think the church needs to take on that same mindset, you know, as we are making disciples. At Blueprint Church, we have 276 or 79 now covenant members in, and our goal is not to disciple 100 of them. Our goal is to disciple 279 of them, because, you know, like I said, married with 7 kids. If I were to say, hey, I'm discipling 4 out of my 7 kids, would you be impressed?
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, if I were to say 5 out of 7 kids, no.
No, keep
six
pushing
out
it.
Of seven, yeah, but only 7 out of 7. But for some reason, when we talk about the church, we don't have that same mentality. We are comfortable with 60% or 50%. So our goal is every covenant member. And so we have clear aims that we want each one of our covenant members to embody in order to do that. And so in the same way, we need, that's how you are able to take a person from a passive participant to an active disciple maker.
Okay, Dehadi, we're going to take a little break when we come back. Lots more about your book, Among Wolves, Disciple Making in the City. If you'd like to win one of these books, you want to email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, or give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, and we'll put your name in the drawing to win one. Be back in a minute. Minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here talking to Dehadi Lewis. He's very passionate about making disciples, so he's a guy I like already. And Dehadi, I've got a caller on the line. Sherry from Cottage Grove has called in with a question. Sherry, hello, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for this topic. Our pastor, I would love to get this book for our pastor. He just last week, he spent the whole hour just preaching his heart out on this very subject, that God gave us all at least one talent or gift, and that we cannot just come and be passive listeners, you know, that this is so important. This is so important to the church, the growth of the church.
Yeah, well, Sherry, I appreciate your comment. Stay on the line. We'll try to get you, we'll get you in the drawing for the book. Dehadi, this is certainly striking a chord. There's a sense of urgency that we have to make disciples, because if we're not developing fully devoted followers of Christ, church is in trouble.
Yeah, it is. And And one of the things that I would just kind of add in that is that we have a lot of times we have reduced discipleship to mentorship in this kind of a one-on-one or one-on-three category. But a lot of
now I think we lost a Hottie, but that's we might get him back. Very important topic on disciple making, so we definitely want to get back to him. We're going to try calling him again. I think he's back. There we go. Dahati, I think we just lost you there for a brief minute. I hope you're back. You're back.
I am here, yes. I'm sorry.
No problem. You have seven kids.
What I was saying was that a lot of times we have reduced disciple-making or life-on-life discipleship to a once-a-week meeting kind of at Starbucks when I'm going to ask you about your life. And I really think the essentials of disciple-making is a life-on-life component where we're, what I was saying earlier, inviting people into relationship and challenging them to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the basic mechanics that any of us as disciple makers can do. And so when we, because a lot of times when people think about disciple making, they think, well, I got to go to seminary, or I have to be trained, or I have to, you know, and I need some type of major kind of theological degree in order to be disciple or to be a disciple maker. And I think we just have to understand that in that call to the disciples, Jesus says, follow me. That's an invitation into relationship, and I will make you fishers of men. There's that this relationship is going to challenge you to change. And a lot of times we'll fall on one or the other side. We're just kind of all invitation. We're all kind of relational without challenge, or we're all challenge without invitation to relationship. And so we just have to balance that tension between the two.
Mm-hmm. Dahati, you say in your book that discipleship is what God calls us to do, but it's also kind of a tall order, because Jesus says in Matthew, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And you say to be as wise as serpents is to have a good capacity to understand circumstances. It's to be a little cunning, isn't it? Jesus is basically telling the sheep to have a little street sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the tension. I mean, especially in an urban context or in cities across the country and in our days, because we are to go out armed with the gospel, but we are to understand that we have the ministry of reconciliation. We're armed with love, you know, and so as we're wrestling with those tensions, that's why Jesus says, I'm sending you as sheep, but in the midst of wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a dynamic that is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to kind of navigate in that world. And so part of our responsibility as believers is to constantly abide in the Spirit.
Yes.
And allow the Spirit to guide us in that.
Okay, Dahati, let me ask you this. If you're going to be doing this, and I hope you are, we need to get ready for persecution, don't we?
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's almost kind of, you know, it's one of those things that you know is going to happen. It's not if you're going to be persecuted, it's when you're going to be persecuted.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times in our disciple making, we're not, we think our goal is to avoid persecution. And that's really not our goal. Our goal is to make disciples. It's our commission for us to do. And when we do that, we are to expect it, because it is one of those things that people don't like, that type of intensity. It's kind of, we like the relativism that we have, the live and let live.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put your beliefs on me. Don't put your morals, don't put your God on me. And I think that that's something that as believers, that's the very commission that we've called to do. So it's expect persecution.
So also be ready to be called names, to be reduced down to expressions like, hey, you're a homophobe, you're a sexist, you're a bigot. Just get ready for that stuff. It's going to come.
Yeah. I mean, anything and everything is just like, it's never beyond. I've been called Judas. I've been called all different types of things. It's, you know, and that's, but that's one comes one with the territory. I mean, and I think we don't seek after to be tried to be called any of these names. We just simply try to be Spirit-led individuals who are constantly putting up the light of Christ and understanding. And what I love about the passage is that Jesus says that I'm sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, if you really play out that metaphor, that a sheep in the midst of a wolf is what I call a dead sheep, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because sheep don't know how to protect themselves. They're dead unless that there's a shepherd around to protect them. And that's what I love about that verse, is that Jesus is saying, I am sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. And we know throughout the book of Matthew that Jesus says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to understand is that we are going under the power and the authority and the care and watch of Jesus. So we don't have to fight for ourselves. We allow him to do the fighting for us. But we stay obedient to the call of reconciliation.
Yeah, because disciple making is just, it's not a casual suggestion, is it? It's what God calls us to do.
Amen.
Yeah, I like you a lot, Tahati, and your book, Among Wolves, Disciple Making in the City, is available right now for purchase. And if you still want to get in the drawing to win one of these books, we have a couple copies to send. And you can do that by calling us at 1-877-933-2484 or sending me an email, bill@myfaithradio.com. I love your passion, Tahati. Love to have you back on the show again.
Oh, I really appreciate it, Bill. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, and is it like 119 in Atlanta today?
It is very hot. I was wondering. I thought I was in another country for a minute. It's very hot.
Yeah, well, stay cool and have a great week.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, yep.
Appreciate it. God bless.
Yep, you bet. 3 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a very short break and be back.
Every child deserves nutritious food. Every child deserves clean water. Yet in countries like Haiti and Guatemala, tens of thousands of kids wake up every day with neither. Many of these children cannot attend school because they have to spend their days carrying water many, many miles. They are being robbed of their childhood, their innocence, their health, and sometimes even their lives. These children long for a better life, a life where a drink of water doesn't mean sickness or maybe even death. Today, you can give the gift of life and hope to a suffering child through Food for the Poor. A $50 one-time gift will change the world for a child by giving him food for a year and water for life.
How many kids can you save right now? Call 855-892-HOPE, 855-892-4673, or give online at myfaithradio.com. Just click the banner that says Give Life, 855-892-HOPE,